So we are now in the time period between 8:24 to 8:48, and we hear how in this time Subal, the dear friend of Krishna, describes to Krishna something about Radharani. He says, O killer of Agasura, as soon as Radhika, for whom you were searching and who is praised by the three birds, saw you, she lost her patience. She felt great pain in her heart, and then rolled on the ground in ecstasy. Tears streamed all over Radhika's body as she cried, Dear friend, the Sakis, feeling emphatic for Radha's disturbed condition, said, O slender waisted Radha, Mukunda has come to make you happy. So Radha was just a moment before almost unconscious, but when her girlfriend said, Mukunda has come, he's just here, Radha asked, Where? So then the Sakis made Radha stare into the dark night and said, Just see, he's there. Radha mistook the darkness for you, Krishna, became pacified, and covered her body with cloth out of bashfulness. Indu Prabha continued, O Radha, Krishna cried large teardrops of love after hearing Subal's narration of your suffering and separation. Now Indu Prabha tries to be extremely poetical and describes Krishna's crying. With an analogy, she says, it seems that the two Chakora birds of Krishna's eyes were vomiting one pearl after another after having eaten them by mistake due to thinking they were drops of nectar from the moon. So she says, each eye is one bird, and as there are tears coming out of the eyes, it looks as if the Chakora birds of Krishna's eyes are vomiting pearls. I mean, it's not such a nice comparison. Oh, beginner of the poets. I hope you. I was near Krishna performing service. He anxiously looked at me and said with great longing, Indu Prabha Sakhi, go quickly and ask Radhika to meet me beneath the desire tree on the bank of the Yamuna. Actually, we cannot joke about Indu Prabha's poetry. It maybe is a difficult translation. I think the devotees have done a poor job translation. These are eternally liberated Sakis, they certainly know poesy. So Krishna says to Indu Prabha, tell Radhika to meet me down in the Yamuna and beneath the desire tree. When Yashoda told Dhanishta to feed Tulasi and Kasturi Manjari, Dhanishta said, what to speak of eating? Tulasi will not even touch water until Radha has eaten. So Yashoda, who appreciated Tulsi's attachment to you, Radha, lovingly said, Tulsi, quickly take this rice and sabji to Radha and her sakis. Dhanishta cheerfully packed the rice and sabjis along with Krishna's remnants given by Rohini in a big basket and gave it to Tulasi. After Tulasi left, Dhanishta privately informed Subala of your evening rendezvous spot. She then gave him the pan you made earlier for Krishna. This is all Indu Prabha describing different things. In Nanda Gaon, the packing of food for Radha and different orders to different gopis. We will not go so much into this detail, but go into Nanda entertains Krishna. Oops! Yashoda attentively fed all the servants and maidservants with her own hands. Yashoda then sat down to eat with her sisters-in-law and their daughters. So after Yashoda has given all servants and maidservants in her house prasad, after she has said prasad from Krishna's leftovers to Radha, she finally sits down and all the women take. Nanda Maharaj and his brothers dove in an ocean of bliss within the palace theater. All the virtuous Brajavasis and talented artists assembled there just to get a glimpse of Krishna. So this now describes the evening entertainment in the palace theater. The audience included Brahmanas, members of exalted family lines, and the cowherd men. A host of expert clowns, dancers, singers, and storytellers gathered there to please Krishna. Nanda Maharaj opened the evening by greeting the distinguished guests with hospitality befitting their status and qualification. He honored his seniors, shared affection with his equals, and bestowed mercy on his subjects. The guests were pleased with Nanda's reception, but their minds and eyes were extremely eager to see Krishna. So everyone assembles in the palace theater, is received by Nanda and sits down, but is restless because Krishna has not yet come. Nanda thought, my son has just eaten, and so he is now resting since he is very tired. However, all the Brajavasis have come to see him, so what should I do? Precisely at that moment, Krishna appeared in the assembly with his friends. The hearts of the Brajavasi guests swelled like the ocean as the Krishna moon rose over the assembly. Those of you who are not from the ocean, when there is full moon and the full moon rises, that is when the ocean floods and comes on the beach and over the beach. I have seen, I'm from the ocean side. The chakora birds of their eyes felt delight. Their hair stood erect like medicinal herbs, and their smiles bloomed like lilies. You can see the eyes are always compared to be chakora birds. Why? Because chakora birds drink the moon rays, and Lord Krishna is known as the Krishna Chandra. So the devotee's eyes drink in the beauty which emanates like rays from Krishna's body, and therefore these eyes are called chakora birds. I request you in your mind to sit down in Nanda Maharaj's palace theater, and you will now see how Krishna enters. Okay? Krishna respected the brahmanas and elders with folded hands. Let's say you are an elderly bridge Parsi with a big bird beard, or a bridge Parsi lady. So Krishna will greet you with folded hands. He smiled at his friends. Krishna looked compassionately upon his juniors and other dependents gathered there before he sat with his friends. At this moment, the artists who are sitting at a stage know that now the show can start. So they all call out to initiate, that means to begin the evening's entertainment, and they shout very loudly, Jai, Jai!
Jai, Jai!
Good, now it starts. Various performers first recited the Vedas. Then they praised Krishna's ancestors by narrating their exploits, played loudly on different musical instruments, and made whooping noises, whoop, 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 whoop. In many ways, they loudly proclaimed the glories of Nanda's dynasty of cowherds. You can just imagine the evening is started with praise of Nanda Maharaj, because he is the king and they all love him so much. And as they loudly proclaim the glories of Nanda's dynasties, because they are cowherds, they are a little temperamental, they become a little bit loud and restless, a little unruly, they laugh and they... And then Nanda Maharaj has to tell his people, calm down, calm down, it's all right. But they go, Nanda Maharaj ki jai, and start to dance and with their turbans. They're so happy that Nanda Maharaj is their king. So that finally, Nanda Maharaj has to order the constables. He has constables, like guards, Please tell my people to not be so loud, And they all go like, all right, sit down. But it's all loving, full of love. So these constables raised their sticks and gestured with their hands that the guests should relax and sit properly. So nice, huh? These rich parties are quite something, So then Nanda signaled, because it has to be a cultural evening, Nanda signaled all the actors to perform for the pleasure of the audience, who were eager to see and hear them. Male and female artists enacted dances such as Tandava, frantic male dance, really like... They are bridge passes, they're covered. So male artists are real dancers. They really dance. They dance quite wildly. And so the woman danced the Chalukya dance. Chalukya dance means a dance where plates are balanced. I don't know if you have heard in Mukha. What is the town next to Radhakrishna? Mukhara. They have this, the women dance with this huge thing on their head. There are many bowls. Somehow they are on a gestell, on a, how do you say gestell in English? On a gestell, I think the German word says it all. And But this is, sorry, I made a mistake. The Matajis don't do this. No, only in Mukhara they do this. And then they dance the Lasya. That's a female dance. Actors dramatized the pastimes of Rama and Narasimha. There were magicians, jugglers. Jugglers are these jongliers, yeah. And some acrobats balancing upon raised bamboo poles. My God, this is very... They have a bamboo pole? And then on top of the bamboo pole, they balance and everyone goes, whoo, whoo! Because when you have a balancing performance, that is very good, because we all have a feeling of balance, right? And when someone is feeling is you know balancing very much, then we become very moved, because it concerns us, you know, we feel identification with this, and we go like, ooh! And, it's a wonderful entertainment. Bhagavati, this should be in your place also. Why not? Jai Gopal, he can do a little acrobatics. Why not? Some showed tricks such as passing a string into one nostril and out of the other. My God. It's really an interesting mixture, you must admit. There are the Vedas, and then there are balancing games, then it's frantic dancing, and then poets narrate Puranic stories, sing songs, and describe the biographies of Krishna's ancestors. Some skilled pandits instantly, that means on the spot, composed poems glorifying Krishna's birth and activities. Musicians played pleasingly on flutes, gongs, veenas, karatals, and percussion instruments. After the show, Nanda and other wealthy visitors rewarded the performers with gold, ornaments, and expensive cloths. The artists, however, were fully satisfied simply with Krishna's darshan. They accepted the charity merely out of respect for the donors. The audience started crying tears of love while drinking the moonbeams of Krishna's sweet smile with the chakoras of their eyes. Started to cry tears of love. They remained dissatisfied even after repeatedly drinking the nectar. Ah, how inconceivable are the ways of love. So this goes up until 8:48. And then comes bedtime. Krishna goes to his bedroom. This is our last section. Yashoda's servant named Ratak entered the assembly, offered respects to Nanda Maharaj, and whispered, "O King of Praj, Rajeshwari is very eager to behold her darling son." So Yashoda has a servant named Raktak. It's interesting. This servant serves Krishna. So it's getting late and Yashoda feels my boy needs to go to bed now. And the men always stay up so late. So she reminds
Nanda Maharaj, through the servant, that it's enough, you know, the enough entertainment. Krishna should sleep now. Krishna, submitting to Nanda's coaxing, reluctantly agreed to leave. So Nanda Maharaj gets the point and tells Krishna, please now go. And but Krishna doesn't really want to go. It's so good in that theater, in this palace theater. So because Krishna knew the guests would be pained if he leaves, and he didn't want them to experience the pain of separation, so therefore he kindly solaced them with the nectar of his merciful glances and sweet smiles before going to his mother. He has to go to his mother, so he just mercifully glances at everyone and smiles at them. Imagine in the evening, it's getting late, and Krishna looks at you and smiles to you before he goes to bed. And you go with that smile in your heart to bed. And just imagine. Krishna, Balaram, Madhumangal and their friends joyfully sat down on a clean platform to drink the warm condensed milk mixed with sugar and a pinch of camphor served by Yashoda. So when they come home, Yashoda has already warm condensed milk for them. Due to her intense motherly affection, a stream of milk poured from Yashoda's breasts to moisten her clothes. Krishna bid farewell to his friends. Yashoda and Rohini took Krishna, Balaram and Madhumangal to their bedrooms and laid them to rest on separate beds. Acha, they all have bedrooms. Krishna, Balaram and Madhumangal also. So Indupaba ends her narration. She says, "Oh Radha, your incomparably clever lover left the palace unseen by anyone. He now waits for you at the meeting place down on the bank of the Jamuna. You should eat now a little something, deceive your superiors and passionately run to meet your Priyatama." Saying this, Induprabha left. So then a very nice scene follows. Radharani's evening meal. But we will hear about this evening meal tomorrow evening, Krishna willing. What is the time?
I did look.
Ooh. So here you can see what goes on in Vrindavan in the night time, up to 8:24, I believe, or was it 8:48? Yes. So what do we remember?
There are a lot of clowns, dancers, and storytellers, and it's just a short time, 8:24 to 8:48, isn't it?
Yeah.
To show all this.
It's a spiritual word, you know. Yes, it's right. It's relatively short. It's a whole program in 24 minutes.
And that's the heart of the bridge pass as well, like the ocean, when the moon rises.
Yeah. Nice. What else do we remember?
I like very much that the first Nanda Maharaj and everyone is there, but Krishna is not yet there. And Nanda Maharaj knows that Krishna is taking a rest and is becoming anxious. Will Krishna arrive on time, especially in such a short frame? And I was remembering how Krishna would spend his night dancing. So when he would take a nap, he would obviously be very tired. And I just remember how sometimes Gomaj read during night and be tired during the day and also take a short nap, and we have a program and I'm in that situation. Hopefully I know Gomaj is tired, but I really need to wake him up. So just by hearing the pastime, I could relate quite well with Nanda Maharaj. I like very much the Braj Basi becoming oblivious of themselves in the glorification of the ancestors and of the dynasty of government and the gods or the constipates.
Constables, yes.
Who come there to remember.
To put order in the they raised their sticks and gestures with their hands that the guests should relax and sit properly. Wonderful, yes, they're very blissful. Hare Krishna. I was also thinking on this, that the British Parsis are so you know, when we came here, we tried to drive by jeep to Govindakund, so we came the normal road like this, and I could see there was a traffic jam, and you know, and traffic jam means in India everyone tries to climb over each other, you know. Especially in Vrindavan, you know, Govardhan Road, there's supposed to be two lanes, you know, one coming this way, and there were four lanes because of the traffic jam, and people trying to climb over the cars. Then there were the constables, you know, it was really too much. I mean, it really looked like two rivers of Ganga meeting at Devi Aparihak, you know. And they had these latis, and they first showed the latis, you know, latis means the sticks, but then they really beat into the crowd. And people, but people were just laughing, you know, because they are intense, you know, they're healthy and strong, it doesn't pain. And they were just, you know, and Krishna. And there was another thing which I liked very much. I very much liked how Radha is so anxious, and then they show her
the darkness and say, see, your lover has come, no problem. It's almost like when Krishna is, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so anxious, then he asks, where is Krishna, where is Krishna, where is Krishna? And then someone says, he's in your heart, don't worry. So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is doubly worried because his heart is covered with his chest, so he tries to open his chest to see Krishna in the heart. And then Gadadhar, who's very intelligent and soft-minded, he says, no, 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 don't worry. He's just coming around the corner. Just have a little patience. He's just coming. So, just remember that. And our Matajis have some.
I like to know, or I was really surprised in this scene when Mother Yashoda asked Dhanishka to offer food after Krishna had eaten, to offer it to Tulasi Mantri and other Mantri, and then Dhanishka said, oh, no way, she will not eat before Radharani is eating, but, and then
Dhanishta cheerfully packed the rice and sabjis along with Krishna's remnants given by Rohini in a big basket and gave it to Tulasi.
I like so much how the associates arrange whether Krishna will eat. And then Dhanishta confirms Subal at the end. I just remember that sometimes Krishna is eating and sometimes he just moves the toe. So the third toe, then she knows exactly in which place. This secret.
Wonderful. Fantastic. I wanted to read one other information to you. That's something which I read today. The devotees are always hungry for the nectar of Krishna's lotus feet, which are decorated with various auspicious symbols. So the Skanda Purana describes these auspicious symbols. I also have Radharani's lotus feet here, and there are also various auspicious symbols in the lotus feet. So here is the symbol of the lotus at the base of the middle toe. That lotus is there to captivate the heart of meditating devotees. The mind is like a bee which wants to drink nectar, so this nectar can be found in the lotus feet of Krishna. Below the lotus there is the symbol of a flag. It is the sign of victory over all the inauspicious qualities of the devotee. You know, when there is a battle going on and the fortress is captured, then those who have captured the fortress will hoist a victory flag which pronounces all over the countryside the victory of the army. So a devotee should meditate about this flag. You can see it means when
meditate about Krishna's or Radha's lotus feet, the flag in particular, we are victorious over our inauspicious qualities. And so there is a thunderbolt, here is a thunderbolt, there is a lotus thunderbolt. The thunderbolt cuts asunder the mountainous sins of the devotees. Then there's a symbol of the elephant's driver's hook. Oh, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. This is the driver's hook. The elephant driver's hook. That shows a devotee who meditates about this will be able to control his sensual desires. And there are many things like this. But especially there is this chakra, you can see?
Yeah.
This chakra means that the devotee lust and other inauspicious qualities are destroyed if you surrender to Krishna or Radha's lotus feet and think about the chakra. So soon we will hear how the forest of Vrindavan will be imprinted with all these signs which are all over the forest paths as Radha and Krishna will leave their homes to meet each other. We will hear about this tomorrow. we are already getting into the Purva Raga. Okay. Good. So Hare Krishna.